Try again. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
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 Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 9. Text 13. Tiryan,
Tiryan
Naga,
Naga
Dvija,
Dvija
Sarisripa,
Sarisripa
Deva,
Deva
Daitya,
Daitya
Martyadibhi,
Martyadibhi
Parichitam,
Parichitam
Sadasat,
Sadasat
Vishesham,
Vishesham
Rupam,
Rupam
Stavishtam,
Stavishtam
Aja,
Aja
Te,
Te
Mahat,
Mahat
Adi,
Adi
Anekam,
Anekam
Nataha,
Nataha
Parang,
Parang
Parama,
Parama
Vedmi,
Vedmi
Nayatra,
Nayatra
Varaha,
Varaha
Tiryannaga dvijasasri sripa deva daitya
Tiryannaga dvijasasri sripa deva daitya
Martyadi bhi padichitam sarasad vishesham
Martyadi bhi padichitam sarasad vishesham
Rupam sthavishtam ajate maharajanekam
Rupam sthavishtam ajate
Param parama vedmi nayatra varaha
Nata param parama vedmi nayatra varaha
Tiryannaga dvija sarisripa deva daitya
Tiryannaga dvija sarisripa deva daitya
Martyadi bhi parichitam sarasad vishesham
Martyadi bhi parichitam sarasad vishesham
Rupam sthavishtam ajate maharajanekam
Rupam sthavishtam ajate maharajanekam
Nata param parama vedmi nayatra varaha
Nata param parama vedmi nayatra varaha
Tiryani nagaditya sarisripa deva daitya
Tiryani nagaditya sarisripa deva daitya
Martyadi bir parichitam sarasad vishesham
Martyadi bir parichitam sarasad vishesham
Rupam stavistitam ajatat mahat adanekam
Rupam stavistitam ajate mahat adanekam
Nata param parama vedmi nayatra vadaha
Nata param parama vedmi nayatra vadaha
Tiryannaga dvija sarisripa deva daitya
Tiryannaga dvija sarisripa deva daitya
Martyadi bhi parichitam sadasat vishesham
Martyadi bhi parichitam sadasat vishesham
Rupam stavistam ajate maharajanekam
Rupam stavistam ajate maharajanekam
Mataparam parama veti nayatra vadaha
Mataparam parama vedmi nayatra vadaha
Tiryanna naga dvija sarisripa deva daitya
Tiryanna naga dvija sarisripa deva daitya
Parichitam sadasad vishesham
Martyadi bhi parichitam sadasad vishesham
Stavistam ajaye mahatadyanekam
Rupam stavistam ajate mahatadyanekam
Nataparam paramavidmi nayatra vada
Nataparam paramavidmi nayatra vada Tiryam Naga Dvija Sarishri Pade Vadaitya
Matya Divi Parichitam Sat Asat Vishesham
Rupam Stavishta Majate Maharajanekam Nata param parama vedmina yatra vadaha. Tiryat.
Tiryat.
By animals. Naga.
Naga.
Trees.
Trees.
Dvija.
Dvija.
Birds.
Birds.
Sarisripa.
Sarisripa.
Reptiles.
Reptiles.
Deva.
Deva.
Demigods.
Demigods.
Daitya.
Daitya.
Demons.
Demons.
Martya Adi Bhi, by men, etc. Kodichitam, pervaded. Sadasat Vishesham, with varieties manifest and unmanifest. Rupam, form. Stavishtam, gross universal. Aja,
O unborn.
Te, your.
Mahat
Adi,
caused by the total material energy,
etc. Anekam,
various causes.
Not.
Ataha,
from this. Param,
transcendental.
Parama,
O supreme.
Vedmi,
I know.
Na.
Yatra,
where?
Vadaha,
various arguments.
My dear Lord, O Supreme Unborn, I know that the different varieties of living entities, such as animals, trees, birds, reptiles, demigods, and human beings, are spread throughout the universe, which is caused by the total material energy. And I know that they are sometimes manifest and sometimes unmanifest. But I have never experienced the supreme form I behold as I see you now. Now all kinds of methods of theorizing have come to an end. Purport. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that he has spread himself throughout the universe, but although everything is resting upon him, he is aloof. The same concept is expressed here by Dhruva Maharaj. He states that before seeing the transcendental form of the Lord, he had experienced only the varieties of material forms, which are counted at 8,400,000 species of aquatics, birds, beasts, etc. The fact is that unless one engages in the devotional service of the Lord, it is impossible to understand the ultimate form of the Lord. This is also confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, Bhaktya Amam Abhijanati. Factual understanding of the Absolute Truth, who is the Supreme Person, cannot be obtained by any process other than devotional service. Dhruva Maharaj here compares his previous state of understanding with the perfection of understanding in the presence of the Supreme Lord. The position of a living entity is to render service. Unless he comes to the stage of appreciating the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he engages in the service of the various forms of trees, reptiles, animals, men, demigods, etc. One can experience that one man engages in the service of a dog, another serves plants and creepers, another the demigods, and another humanity, or his boss in the office. But no one is engaged in the service of Krishna. Aside from common men, even men who are elevated in terms of spiritual understanding are at the utmost engaged in the service of the Virat Rupa, or unable to understand the ultimate form of the Lord. They worship voidism by meditation. Dhruva Maharaj, however, had been blessed by the Supreme Lord. When the Lord touched his conch shell to Dhruva's forehead, real knowledge was revealed from within, and Dhruva could understand the Lord's transcendental form. Dhruva Maharaj here admits that not only was he ignorant, but by years he was only a child. It would not have been possible for an ignorant child to appreciate the supreme form of the Lord had he not been blessed by the Lord, who had touched his conch shell to Dhruva's forehead. Om Gyanatimidantasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakada Mayam Tathati Shapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Sri Rupam Shagrajatam Shagana Gaganatan Vitam Stam Sajivam Shadaitam Shagatutam Krishna Sahitam Krishna Sahitam Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Dalita Sri Vishakam Vitam Stam He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kamsana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Prashadhanam Sute Devi Paramani Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyaiva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasari Guru Bhaktavinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Tiryam Naga Dvijasarisripa Deva Daitya Martyari Pi Padichitam Sadasad Vishesham Rupam Stavishta Majate Mahadajanekam Nata Param Paramadevmi Nayatravara. Although Dhruva Maharaj was a child, by the grace of the Lord and by the grace of Narad Muni, he achieved advanced spiritual realization. Everything was revealed to him. He could understand, first of all, the nature of the cosmic manifestation. Tiryan Naga Dvijasarisripa Deva Daitya Martyadi Bhi Pradichitam Sadasad Vishesha. Vishesha means varieties. The universe, the cosmic manifestation, is full of varieties. Unlimited varieties. Sadasad Vishesha. Sadasad, good and bad. higher and lower, or manifest and unmanifest, sadasad vishesha. Tiryan naga dvija sarisripa deva daitya martyadi bhi. Some of those manifestations are animals, trees, birds, reptiles, demigods, demons, human beings, martya, those who are meant to die. This planet is called Martyalok. Human beings, or we say mortals, adibi, and so on. Pradichitam, the sarvagata, the living beings are everywhere throughout the cosmic manifestation. There was just some item in the newspaper they found, they dug deep and deep and deep and deep, maybe they were looking for diamonds or gold or something. And deep down, with scientific exploration, they found some creatures further down, miles down into the earth than they'd ever found before. It was a grubby worm, of course. But there it was. So they found also living beings deep under the Arctic ice cap. So wherever you go, living beings are there. In different forms, suited to different atmospheric conditions, to different environments. Different bodies are there for living beings with different karma, vishesha. Otherwise, what's the need? They could have just one kind of life everywhere. But so many varieties are there because there are different living beings with different desires, different karma. Just like in a dress store, they could have one dress. Why do they have so many different kinds, so many different colors, so many different fashions? They could have just one dress, and that would be it for everyone. But there are different ladies with different tastes and different desires, and they like different fashions, different desires, yes. So they have so many different kinds of dresses. So body is a dress. And the living beings have so many different kinds of dresses according to their different desires. Human, or reptile, or tree, or beast, demigod, demon. So many different kinds of living entities, or different kinds of bodies. The persons in the mode of passion think that for every different body, there's a different living kind of living entity. They see the body as the self. And so they imagine that each body represents a different kind of living being. Because they don't distinguish between the living being and the body. So if you see one kind of body, that's one kind of life. You see another body, there's another kind of life. Life, it grows in different ways. The person in the mode of goodness sees the difference between the bodies and the soul. He sees there's one kind of life in so many different forms. That's clear knowledge. And the person in the mode of ignorance doesn't see any of that. He just sees work, 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 work. It's kind of no knowledge. He's dull. He has no knowledge. The person in passion is confused. And the person in the mode of goodness sees things as they are. So, Dhruva Maharaj saw all these varieties. Rupam stavishtam ajate mahadavyane kam. He could understand that all of these are situated within the universal form of the Lord. And they're all products of Mahat Adi. They're all products of Mahat, the total material energy. Mahat Padam Punya Yashomodadi. The Lord is known as Mahat Padam because the entire Mahat Tattva is situated at his lotus feet. So Dhruva Maharaj saw that, just as Arjuna also saw, that all living beings, all different features of the cosmic manifestation are situated within the universal form. Arjuna said, I see all the demigods, I see the demons, I see all human beings, all sorts of creatures within this universal form. Because the universal form encompasses whatever there's to be, whatever's manifest within the cosmic manifestation or within the universe. The Mahat, yes, they're all products. Mahat Adi, these bodies are all produced by the material energy. But the Lord is Aja. For that matter, the living entity is also Aja. Ajopi son of Yayatma, Bhutana Mishuropi son. The Lord is Aja. But the living entity is also Aja. Ajo Nityam Shashvato Yam Puran. Nahangyate Hangyamani, Hangyamane Shudide. Ja, Aja, meaning not taking birth. The living being, for the living being, there's never birth or death. Najayate miyate va kadachin. He never comes into being and he never ceases to be. So he's aja, but in his conditioned life, he's ja, he's born in different bodies. And the Lord is also aja, unborn, having no beginning and no end. But he's the supreme Aja. The living entity is Aja, the Lord is also Aja. But because we're tiny Ajas, we come under the material energy and then we're Ja, we're born. But the Lord, when he appears in the material world, although he appears to be born like one of us, has no, is not subject to the laws of material nature. Ajopi son of Yayatma, Bhutana, Mishuropi son. Prapatim svam atishtaya, sambhavami atmamaya. The Lord comes by his own free will, by his own energy. And we come forced by the material energy. Ajate mahadadhyane kam, nata param. Nata param, paramavemi nayatravaram. Now the Dhruva Maharaj has seen the personality of Godhead. Nayatravara. All speculative theories are finished. Because the Lord is there. In the absence of the personality of Godhead, we're speculating. God might be like this, God might be like that. Maybe there's no God, maybe there's 10 gods. Maybe this, maybe that. Maybe impersonal, maybe this. Vada. Vada means arguments. Vada means arguments. What is that? Vada pravadatama? I think so. The Lord says, among arguments, I'm the conclusive truth. 10th chapter. Vada pravadatama. Among arguments, I'm the conclusive truth. When the conclusion is there, then the arguments are finished. Now, the Lord is the conclusion to all arguments in person.
He's the conclusion to all arguments, in person. No need of any mental speculation anymore. In the 10th canto also, when Lord Brahma offered his prayers to Krishna after having stolen the calves and cowherd boys and having seen the manifestation of Krishna's superior mystic power, Lord Brahma said, now, you've come to answer any speculative theories about the nature of God. People imagine that God is an old man because he's the oldest person, he's the rock of ages, he's the oldest Purana Purusham. And so they paint a Lord with a big long beard and gray hair and wrinkled skin. Because he's old, he's the oldest. So they imagine what he must be like. Or they imagine that he must have no form. Not exactly imagine, they speculate. Imagine they speculate, they follow their logical process. Well, form is temporary, and therefore the absolute must have no form, and so they get a formless absolute. But their logic is incomplete because they don't consider that there can be, that the opposite of form can be transcendental form, the opposite of material form, form limited and defective, is transcendental form that they don't reach. And this is the problem with logic, that you logically figure out everything and it all fits and it all makes sense and it all lines up and it's wrong. Logic can do that. It can look really good and be really bad. People have different speculative ways of approaching the personality of Godhead, but the Lord is not accessible to mental speculation. Naham prakasha sarvasya yogamaya samanita. He covers himself by yogamaya, and therefore the mental speculators argue among themselves without understanding the conclusion. In the third canto, third canto or fourth canto, the Kumaras say that we offer our respectful obeisances to the absolute truth, the personality of Godhead, by whose illusory energy different scholars and logicians and mental speculators argue among themselves, sometimes agreeing, sometimes disagreeing, and in any case, forgetting who they are and what the purpose of life is. Another trick of Maya. Prabhupada gave the example of the crow and tal fruit logic. Tal is a kind of palm tree with it looks like something like a coconut with three little translucent fruits in it. It's tall fruit. And a crow landed on a branch and a tall fruit fell to the ground. And two munis were there. So one muni said, well, this is very interesting. The crow landed on the branch and by the weight of his alighting on the branch, the tall fruit fell. And the other speculator said, well, I don't think so. I think rather crow landed on the branch just when the fruit was going to fall anyway. And then there was another theory and another theory. I think it went on back and forth. And meanwhile, devotee just picked up the fruit, offered it to Krishna. Yeah. useless argument with no conclusion. Prabhupada gave this example in regard to the fall of the celebrated fall of the jiva. He fell from Vaikuntha. No, he fell from the Brahmajyoti. No, he fell from the Tatastha Shakti region. No, he fell from here. He fell from there. No, he never fell. Prabhupada's, you know, what do you care where he fell from? You're here. That's the conclusion. And your business is to get out. But no, it's very important to argue. Or Prabhupada gave another example, the scissors and the knife. You know the example. Intellectuals were walking by the shore and they were talking about how to cut something, and one said with the scissors, and the other said with a knife, and the other said with the scissors, and the other said with a knife, and they gave their various reasons, scissors, knife. Finally, the knife guy got so exasperated that he pushed the scissors guy into the ocean. So the scissors guy was drowning, carried away by the waves, and the last thing he saw was his hand above the waves. Scissors.
Scientist.
Hmm?
A scientist.
Yes, he's a scientist. He's a great scientist. Well, this will go on. Vada. There are different kinds of argument. Jalpa and Vada. It's mentioned in Bhagavad Gita, different constituent parts of the purpose of Bhagavad Gita, different constituent parts of argument. But finally, the point is to reach the conclusion. Sometimes people, they're eternal searchers. They want to search and search and search, but they don't want to reach the conclusion. That would sort of spoil everything. At the end of the journey, that's no fun. You've got to keep journeying. That's where the romance is. So here, Krishna has revealed himself to Dhruva Maharaj. I'm the absolute truth. I'm the personality of Godhead. I'm what you were looking for. You were looking for the supreme. You were looking for the ultimate truth, the personality of Godhead. Now here I am before you. And Dhruva Maharaj says, yes, now you're here. There's no question of imagining or speculating. All questions are answered by the personal presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Any questions? Comments? Questions?
I don't understand or can really imagine how spirit soul, which is has nothing to do with matter, can be captured or catched in the matter, in this material body.
Can't imagine how the spirit soul, which is has nothing to do with matter, becomes captured in the material body. Yes, the Sangho Hiyayam Purusha, the Shastra says, the living entity has nothing to do with matter. It has nothing to do with matter. Therefore, from one point of view, still we have nothing to do with matter. But we're imagining that we have something to do. I'm imagining that now I'm 30 years old, now I'm a man, now I'm Ljubljana. Now I have to make some money, now I have this, now I have that. It's imagination. Like a dream. Dream is a very serious business for the person who's dreaming. But it has no substance. I'm dreaming. I'm this body, this is my wife, this is my mother, this is my father, these are my children, this is my job, this is my bank balance, this is my house, this is my problem, this is my solution, this is that. And none of it's true. It has as much meaning as a dream. The third canto of Bhagavatam gives some examples. That sometimes you look up in the sky and you see the moon racing across the sky. Have you seen that? Sometimes you look up in the sky and the moon is like really moving quickly through the sky. How is that? Usually it doesn't do that. Why tonight is the moon speeding through the sky? Then the answer is given that actually the moon is staying where it is, but the clouds are moving. Some strong wind is blowing, the clouds are moving, and relative to the movement of the clouds, the moon appears to be moving. Actually, it's not moving at all. By illusion, we imagine that it's moving. Or you look in the water, and you see something, whatever it is, a tree or your face, and it's all quivering, breaking up into little pieces, and it's bobbing up and down and undulating. Your face is breaking up into little pieces. Why? Because the face is reflected on the water, and the water is moving, and we're thinking that what we see in the water is the actual thing. And so our face appears to be breaking up into little pieces or drifting up and down. Actually, the face has nothing to do with the water. It appears to be connected. Our connection with material nature is only apparent. From that point of view, this fall of the jiva thing, Prabhupada answered from another angle of vision, we're never fallen, we're always in the spiritual world. But by distorted consciousness, we're imagining something else. But what is the cause of this conditioned life? Yeah. False ego. Vimukha chaitasa. Turning away from Krishna, we look toward material nature and we imagine this is all about me, or I'm all about that. We imagine there's something I can grab hold of and enjoy. And we become associated with it. We have nothing to do with it. Just like you're associated with the money in your bank. Actually, the money is not even there. It's been lent out to the bank by the bank 100 times over. But you're imagining that you have some money in the bank. Because of your attachment to it. Some relationship in your mind. Or imagining that we have a relationship with this material world and that we can enjoy and exploit this material world. Karmam Gula Sankasya Sai Savyam. This is the cause of conditioned life. And false ego is very subtle. Material elements, you start with earth, which is gross, you can grab it, you can do so many things with it. And gradually you work up to air, which you can't even see. And then to ether, which they debate about the existence of, it's so subtle. And then mind, which is more subtle still. Intelligence, which is higher than the mind. Very subtle things now. Then we come to false ego, which is still more subtle. But that subtle false ego becomes the cause of all the gross elements. In the 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Vayurgandhani Vashaya, it's described that the living being is traveling from one body to another like aromas carried by the air. the wind passes over, the breeze passes over a garbage pit, and the breeze starts smelling like garbage. Or it passes over a rose garden and smells like roses. Actually, the air has nothing to do with roses or garbage. But by association, it picks up a certain scent. But we have nothing to do with material nature. But by association with material nature, all of these things happen to become a conditioned soul with a body and a family and a job and a credit card and debt and doctor bills and so many things. Why? Because I look toward material nature and I think, this, here's something for me. Or because I look away from Krishna, as soon as I look away from Krishna, then I'm looking toward Maya. And why? It's subtle. Because of minute independence. And the little tiny independence that we can misuse.
These verses, Siddhanta Bhaliya Chitta and Chaitanya Charitamrita, about the controversial, until which point is good or is not good?
Till the spiritual master says enough already. And Chaitanya Charitamrita said that, yes, don't avoid controversy, it strengthens the mind and intelligence to examine controversy. That's the verse here. It strengthens the mind and intelligence, so don't just avoid controversy. Controversy is good. If we just close our eyes and say, yeah, I believe. Something's contradictory. That's one of the nice things about the writings of the Goswamis. Look, if you look in Tattva Sandarbha or Brihadbhagavatamrita, Rupa Goswami or Sanatana Goswami, they take some point that's contradictory that we might skip over and say, well, you know, anyway. And they dig into it. Why this contradiction? And then they do research, nana shastra vichara, and they find answers.
Sometimes they disagree.
But they find they're churning the nectar of shastric conclusions by looking at these apparent contradictions and saying, why is this here? So Kaviraj Goswami says, don't avoid controversy and philosophical understanding. It strengthens the mind to examine. And when is it too much? When the spiritual master says, don't bother with this. Don't waste your time. Or when it becomes the end in itself. Scissors, knife. It's not no longer about whether it's scissors or whether it's knife. It's about my false ego, about my stubbornness, my obstinacy, my being right, my defeating you. That's Maya. I know something you don't know. I know something you don't know. That's childish, isn't it? But adults play that game also. I know something. So, therefore, the spiritual master is required. The shastra is full of different statements, different arguments, different conclusions, different subject matters to explore. You can get lost in it. Veda Vadarata Partha Nani Nastiti Vadana. Kamat Manasvara. People get lost in the Vedas. Yami Mam Pushpitam Vacham Prabhadantyavi Paschitavi. Inexperienced people get carried away by all the flowery words of the Vedas and they think, ooh, heavenly planets, ooh, solar mass, ooh. Because they make a left turn in some Vedic passage and they start going on and on, and they read on and on about Indra and about his gardens and about this and about that. because they're reading without proper guidance. Or in so many other ways, one can read Shastra and be confused. Or read Shastra and think one has it and be totally off track. Tadvijnanartham sa gurumeva abhigacchet. Therefore, Shastra says it's mandatory. One must approach a bona fide spiritual master to get guidance in understanding the Shastra in order to understand what it actually means, in order to get the real benefit. So if the spiritual master says, yes, you should study this, you should get to the bottom of this, then study it, study. And if the spiritual master says, this question is endless, don't waste your time, then don't say, well, yes, but. Is that right?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
I think you hit it on that. And I was listening to Prabhupada, he's talking about what's this idea of interpretation? If something is clear, there's no sense of interpretation. Yet we have a lot of, you know, purports and explanations by different acharyas from different perspectives on different philosophical. I'm trying to understand the difference between interpretation and explanation, and when is one that does each apply? When you don't have to interpret, and when you do have to explain?
When do you interpret, when do you not interpret? Prabhupada, as a general principle, says, you leave it alone when it's clear. The classic example, like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, there's no need to interpret these sutras. It's like holding a candle to the sun. The sun doesn't need your candle. It's already clear. Already bright. So when something has a clear, direct meaning, then there's no need of interpretation. Just accept it as it is. Krishna says, manmana pavamadbhakta, surrender to me, think of me, become my devotee. There's no need of a big politician coming along, big philosopher coming along and says, well, it's not to Krishna that we have to surrender, but to the unborn, unmanifest, blah, blah, blah. As if the word mom was so vague that it needed him to come along. Ma means me. Me means the person who's speaking. Clear enough. No need of you.
The classic example is Dharma Kshetra, Kurukshetra?
Yeah, Prabhupada always goes, Dharma Kshetra, Kurukshetra. Someone comments, Dharma Kshetra means this body, and Kurukshetra means this body, and Panch Pandavas means the five senses, and this means this, and this means that. Prabhupada said, Kurukshetra means Kurukshetra. The field is there, there's a railway station, Kurukshetra railway station, and you go there and get down and you can see what is Kurukshetra. It doesn't need speculative interpretations. But when something's not clear, then some explanation is needed. The classic example Srila Prabhupada gives is that it's written that there's a residential quarter on the Ganges. There's a residential quarter on the Ganges. Well, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense because the Ganges is water. Right? How are people living on the water? Houseboats or, you know, how is it working? So at that point, we need the grammarian to come along and tell us that on the water means on the side of the water. Someone's living on the river, it doesn't mean he has to be floating. He can be living on the bank, and that's living on there are even towns like Derry on Sun, the town of Derry on the Sun River. It doesn't mean it's sitting on the river, it means it's by the side of the river. So when something's not clear, then proper explanation is given, and that too with reference to authority. But when something is clear, then leave it alone. Don't needlessly interpret and speculate.
That's the Mayavadi thing, interpret everything.
Everything. Yeah. To avoid the natural conclusion.
Yes. Prabhupada says in one purport that the high level of thinking is no difference between matter and spirit.
Yes, there's no difference between matter and spirit, finally, because sarva kalavidam brahma, because everything is brahma, everything is the absolute truth is everything. And therefore everything is not different from the absolute truth. Eka brahma dutiya nasti, there's only brahma, there's nothing else but brahma. So there's no difference between matter and spirit, ultimately, because they're nothing but Krishna. There's Vasudeva Sarvamiti, Krishna is everything. There's nothing but Krishna, so then what's the difference between matter and spirit? They're both Krishna. But then, Parashya Shaktir Vividaya Shruta, Krishna manifests himself through different energies. Vividhaiva. They're not all the same. Fire is one, but it manifests itself as sparks, as flames, as fuel, as smoke. And although they're one, they act differently. Try cooking on smoke. You have to cook on the flames. So matter and spirit, from Krishna's point of view, are one. And he just uses, it's all his energy. Vishnu Shakti Para Prokta. It's all Vishnu's energy, but he uses it differently. Prabhupada gives the example of an electrician. He takes your electricity, and the same one electricity, over here it's heating, and over here it's cooling. And over here it's illuminating. You're getting three different effects, although electricity is only one thing, electricity. But the expert electrician employs it in different ways, and so here it's cooling, here it's heating, here it's giving light. Or another example Prabhupada gives is that the state has a treasury. So it's all one big pile of cash. But the government uses that treasury over here to build a road, over here to build a prison, over here to build a college, over here to build a military base. Then this is called the public works fund, this is called the military budget, this is called the prison fund, this is called the college endowment, this is called this, that. Actually, it's just all cash. No difference between the cash that creates the road, the cash that creates the hospital, the cash that creates the military base, and the cash that creates the prison. It's all the same cash. The government uses it differently. So this becomes a hospital, this becomes a prison, this becomes a military base. So matter and spirit, Krishna's point of view, it's all his energy. But he deploys it differently. So used one way, it becomes, or it acts as matter. Then employed another way, it acts as spirit. But for Krishna, it's all his energy. Something else? Yes?
So I have a question about the...
or, just, excuse me, while I'm thinking of it. Therefore, even the material energy, for the non-devotee, it acts harshly. And for the devotee, it acts beneficially. Maya's smashing the materialist, and he's just getting knocked around. Why me? And for the devotee, the same material energy is giving realization, spiritual realization. Prabhupada gave the example, the kitten in the cat's mouth and the rat in the cat's mouth. Same cat, but the teeth are felt differently. Yes, your question.
Yes. I have a question about consciousness. It seems that I have heard a few devotees saying that before becoming Krishna conscious, we need to be conscious. So, do you have the reference about that?
Excuse me?
Do you have the reference about that?
Do I have a reference about before being Krishna conscious, you have to be conscious? Heard it a lot. Maybe one of those things Prabhupada said at one point. I could picture Prabhupada blasting someone for not even being awake. You know, what to speak of Krishna conscious? You're not even conscious. I think Prabhupada would sometimes say, you'll be intelligent in 1,000 years. Prabhupada was very good at insults.
But can we say that like one of the definition of Maya is not to be conscious?
Not to be Krishna conscious. Maya, yeah, everyone's conscious, we can't help it. But one's consciousness is tuned to one's particular mode, modes of nature one has acquired. A person in passion is conscious of money and profit and opportunity. A person in ignorance is conscious, barely conscious, of liquor and work, and his own misery. A person in the mode of goodness is conscious of philosophy and so on. But everyone's conscious. Even the animals are conscious, even plants are conscious, but they're conscious about eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. So, conscious we are, we're stuck with it. But we're not Krishna conscious. And when we're not Krishna conscious, then immediately fine.
This means that, for example, in Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna has experienced different type of consciousness.
Yes. The consciousness in the beginning was, I shall not fight. Nimittani viparitani. Nimittani napashami viparitani keshva. Oh, it will all be bad. Papa miva shreya dasma. Sin will overcome us. All these arguments. But the real story was my brothers, my cousins, my uncles, my friends, my teacher, my this, all in the bodily concept of life. And Krishna said, Ashochana and Vasochastana Bhaktivan, you're speaking like a learned person, as if you were a learned person, but actually you're speaking like a fool. Because it's all in the bodily concept of life. But at the end of Bhagavad Gita, Nashta Mahasmatir Lata, Tvat Prasada Meachuta, Stitosmi Gata Sandeya Kodisha. And now my illusion is gone. Nashta Smritir Lata, I regained my consciousness, my memory. Tvat Prasada Meachuta, by your mercy. Stitosmi Gata Sandeya, now I'm properly situated. So you're telling me to fight? I'll fight. In the beginning, oh Govinda, I'm not going to fight. I don't like it. At the end, Krishna, whatever you tell me, I'm ready to do it. Oh, one was material consciousness, the other was spiritual consciousness, Krishna consciousness. The same Arjuna with his consciousness changed. That's what we're being asked to do. And now we're forgetting Krishna, now we're trying to be happy in this material world, now we're thinking in terms of the body concept of life, now we're holding on to so many, attached to so many things that are not going to, that we have nothing to do with and they're not going to make us happy, that we can't enjoy. We're being asked to change our consciousness and become attached to Krishna in devotional service. That's a question. Yes.
a wonder. We said to Marta, did he, that we left this body until we must see that we already left this body. And I wonder, subtle body, how is the process of letting subtle body, is subtle body here or going, how this process happening, purifying, like when it's so left the body?
Soul is, the subtle body is subtle. Gross body is gross. When someone dies, the gross body is lying there. They pick it up and put it in a box. Or whatever they're going to do with it. But the subtle body, they can't do that with. They can't see it. It's very fine. Just here, if there's some cartels and some glasses, you could put them in the box. But the air, you can't put in a box because it's subtle. So the mind, intelligence, are still more subtle. And when the gross body is finished, the subtle body is not finished. When the gross body is finished, when the body dies, then the subtle body stays or continues to exist. But it goes someplace else. It goes someplace else. Where does it go? Even while we're alive, that happens at night. You're lying in a bed somewhere, but your mind is on the moon or wherever your mind has chosen to go that night. So the gross body is lying there. Anyone could see. Yes, she's sleeping in bed. But your mind could be anywhere because it's subtle. It can travel around. So at death also, the body is lying there, but the subtle body has gone somewhere. Where has it gone? According to its thoughts. If you were thinking of some particular type of place, maybe you've gone to that place. Or you were thinking of some particular kind of enjoyment. Now you may have gotten a body for that kind of enjoyment. Shrotram Chakshu Sparshanam Chakshu. Bhagavad Gita says, that subtle body picks up a gross body. You have a certain desire to see something. So you get a particular kind of eye meant for seeing that. You, like a vulture, wants to see dead bodies. So you can maybe get an eye like that, the vulture's eye you can see from way up. And you want a particular kind of taste. So for that you need a particular kind of tongue. So from the subtle body, nature says, all right, give the gross counterpart, give that kind of tongue. You wanted to hear something. All right, that kind of ear. You wanted to, in this way, all the senses gather around the mind, or they're attracted by the mind, or your mind determines what kind of senses you'll get. Just like you see in this life, you see someone and you say, that person's a pig. You know, lives in squalor and filthy and eats anything and goes on eating anything and then eats some more anything. And even by his face, he looks like a pig. Same person's a pig. Because what's the basis? It's the subtle body. His mind is thinking, I want to eat. I want to eat more. So then when his subtle body leaves, it's already the subtle body of a pig. Right? It's already what kind of food, any kind of food, and just lie here and eat. See people sitting in front of their television set, you know. Okay. So nature says, all right, he's got a pig's subtle body, we'll give him a pig's gross body. according to Yam Yam Vapi Svanipa, according to what you think of, the subtle body carries you to the next gross body. Or if you think of Krishna, then your subtle body takes you back to Godhead. Chakradeham Punarjanma. So Krishna consciousness means to fix our subtle body, mind, intelligence, everything, on the lotus feet of Krishna, so that you'll go back to Krishna and never come back here. Okay. Yes.
I wonder why Krishna didn't say anything about the power of holy name in Bhagavad Gita.
No, he does. Stane Rishikesha Tava Prakirtya. The Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, by hearing the kirtan, the whole world is becoming joyful. Stane Rishikesha Tava Prakirtya.
Arjuna says.
Yeah, Arjuna says.
Is something about I am Japa?
Yeah, that's also there. Yajyanam Japa Yagyosmi. Satatam Kirtayanto Amam. The devotees are always doing kirtan.
But I didn't say to Arjuna, I just go and chant my name.
No. He didn't want, Arjuna wasn't meant for that. Mamanusmara Yujaja, you just think of me in flight. Let the Brahmins chant the holy name, we want you to kill some people.
I mean, chanting the holy name was not the conclusion of the Bhagavad Gita. The conclusion of Bhagavad Gita is do your duty.
Your conclusion is that your duty is to serve me. There are different kinds of service: shravanam, kirtanam, smaranam, vandanam, dasyam. So many different kinds of service. Even Prabhupada, he says chant Hare Krishna, but he doesn't. If somebody says, I'm just going to chant Hare Krishna, then what's with you? You're misunderstanding. Someone wants to go to Mayapur and build a little hut and sit there 24 hours a day and chant Hare Krishna. Prabhupada says, no. You think of Krishna by doing some. There's one devotee, Prabhupada engaged him in construction. He was in Vrindavan, so Prabhupada gave him construction work to do, building a temple. The devotee thought, I'm in Vrindavan, my taste is for chanting the holy name and relishing Krishna Leela. You know, why is Swamiji making me do this? It's because Swamiji understood that you do that, you'll just become a Prakriti Sahaja, just a cheap imitation devotee. You do this, you'll make progress. Don't sit and relish Krishna Katha. Build the temple, and you'll make progress. For someone, the spiritual master says, chant more. In Fiji, there's one elderly devotee. He asked Prabhupada, what he should do, Prabhupada? Chant more japa. And some other devotee, you build a temple. Go preach. Prescription is different. Arjuna didn't desire, but my dear Arjuna, you set the example of perfect sadhana, chant 64 rounds a day. No. Go kill your grandfather. Kodeshye vachanantava. What you say, I'll do. You tell me to chant, I'll chant. You tell me to build a temple, I'll build a temple. You tell me to kill my grandfather, I'll kill my grandfather. You tell me to do this, I'll do this. Whatever you desire, that I'll do that. Not whatever I desire. I want to go to Vrindavan. That's fine, but if the spiritual master wants you to go to New York, not Vrindavan. For you, Vrindavan is New York.
Mahashikha mentioned in these three subtle elements And sometimes this citta is mentioned sometimes to the, as a fourth element, or sometimes as a heart, and then you also have like citta dharpana vajana. What exactly is this?
Citta, very mysterious item, citta. Citta means different things in different contexts. Citta means different things in different contexts. Just like block. Block can mean a piece of wood. A block can mean the distance between one corner and the other corner of the street.
Can mean this. Prevent somebody from doing something?
Prevent something from doing something. Someone from doing something. It can mean one of those little things kids play with. It can mean, yeah, so many things, according to the context. The citta, the general meaning is consciousness. Sometimes it's translated as mind. Sometimes it's translated as heart. I have my heart set on something. It doesn't mean my physical heart is nailed to it. But it means my consciousness is there. So sometimes it's translated heart, sometimes it's my only desire is to have my consciousness purified, my heart purified. Sometimes it's heart, sometimes it's mind, sometimes it's cognition. Different meanings in different contexts.
This is a mirror in citta dharpana.
Means your heart or your mind or your consciousness is covered with dust. The way a mirror is covered with dust. When a mirror is covered with dust, you can't see anything. You can't see yourself. You have to clean the mirror. Then you can see. Well, now my consciousness is covered by the bodily concept of life, by imaginations of enjoyment of the material world, covered by karma, covered by jnana. So heart has to be cleansed, mind has to be cleansed, consciousness has to be cleansed. Then one can attain self-realization, Krishna consciousness. Okay, let's stop here. Thank you all very much.
Hey.